Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin in the Philippines, and a verdict for two Marines in a prominent homicide case. All of that and more today, February 3rd, 2023. Good morning, early birds. I'm Jonathan Lehrfeld, and this is the Early Bird Brief, produced by Defense News and Military Times. First up, the United States and the Philippines announced plans yesterday to expand America's access to four more bases in the Philippines. The announcement comes as Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was in the Philippines this week for talks about deploying U.S. forces and weapons to more Philippine military camps in order to ramp up deterrence against China's increasingly aggressive actions toward Taiwan and in the disputed South China Sea. American forces had previously been granted access to five Philippine military camps where they could rotate indefinitely under a 2014 defense pact.
It is not about permanent basing, but it is a big deal. It's a really big deal in that, it gives us, provides us the opportunity again to interact a bit more in an effective way.
Here's why it matters. The Philippines is Washington's oldest treaty ally in Asia. It is a key front in the U.S. battle against terrorism. Austin is the latest senior official to visit the Philippines after Vice President Kamala Harris did so in November, meaning this could be a sign of warming ties after a strained period under a past Filipino president who nurtured cozy ties with China and Russia. This all comes after Austin spent time in South Korea, where he said the U.S. would increase its deployment of advanced weapons, such as fighter jets and bombers, to the Korean Peninsula to bolster joint training with South Korean forces in response to North Korea's growing nuclear threat. Another important story? The Air Force has told North Dakota leaders it believes a Chinese company's plans to build a wet corn milling plant near its Grand Forks base poses a threat to national security. The statement prompted city officials to say they'll move to stop a project once touted as an economic boon. The Chinese company was in the process of planning to build a $700 million facility 12 miles from Grand Forks Air Base. Governor Doug Burgum and U.S. Senators John Hoeven and Kevin Cramer pressed the federal government in July to expedite a review of any security risk.
I think we grossly appreciate how effective they are at collecting information, collecting data, using it in nefarious ways. And I just as soon not have the Chinese Communist Party doing business in my backyard.
Here's why it matters. The announcement comes as U.S.-China business ties strain under growing tensions between the two countries over security and trade issues. China on Monday criticized U.S. controls of technology exports as a trade violation. Fears over spying have led the U.S. armed forces to prohibit the Chinese-owned app TikTok on military devices. Nearly half of state governments across the country have banned the video-sharing platform from state-owned devices. Grand Forks' mayor said in a statement that he will ask his city council to deny building permits for the project and to refuse to connect the 370-acre site to public infrastructure. The mayor, who previously favored the project, added that the federal government's response had been, quote, slow and contradictory. In other news, the Pentagon's independent weapons tester verified that the U.S. Army's electronic warfare visualization software is effective and capable of assisting soldiers in the field. For more on this, C4ISRNet reporter Colin Damaris breaks it all down for us.
The Army's electronic warfare planning and management tool, often called EWPMT, got good marks from the Pentagon's chief weapons tester. In the office's latest public report issued late last month, the planning tool was applauded for its operational effectiveness, including its ability to assist with targeting and improvements to overall soldier awareness in the field. Testing of the tool, which is now years in the making and still undergoing fixes and updates, was handled by the 2nd Stryker Brigade Combat Team, 4th Infantry Division at Fort Carson, Colorado. EWPMT is designed to give troops a clear picture of live electronic warfare conditions, such as jamming or spoofing, and a means to counteract them or navigate around them. The suite of applications, often seen on a laptop, scours sensors for relevant information and generates an easy-to-read interactive map. Ultimately, the Army intends for EWPMT to tie into other electronic warfare platforms, like the Multifunction Electronic Warfare Air Large Pod and the Terrestrial Layer System. Electronic warfare, invisible to the naked eye, represents a struggle for control of the electromagnetic spectrum, relied upon for communications, weapons guidance, and more. The Army's related armory atrophied in the decades following the Cold War, and leaders are now attempting to rebuild it in the face of potential conflict with Russia or China. A spokesperson for the Program Executive Office for Intelligence, Electronic Warfare and Sensors, or PEOIEWNS, told me the Army is satisfied with the results of the testing and is proceeding with a full deployment of what's known as Increment 1 in fiscal year 2024, which begins in October. Increment 1 comprises a host of software upgrades. Additional tests and tweaks are expected in the coming months and years, and previously identified EWPMT concerns have been addressed, the same spokesperson told me.
Thanks, Colin. If you enjoyed our conversation with Colin, be sure to rate us and leave a comment wherever you get your podcasts. Also on your radar for today, a jury acquitted two Marines on charges of involuntary manslaughter and negligent homicide in the death of a Green Beret veteran. Gunnery Sergeants Josh Negron and Danny Dreyer were at a bar in Iraq in the early hours of January 1st, 2019. Rick Rodriguez, an Army veteran and contractor, started an argument with Chief Petty Officer Eric Gilmet, a friend of Dreyer and Negron, witnesses and security footage indicated. Later, on the street outside the bar, Rodriguez became aggressive with Dreyer, who pushed him backward. Dreyer testified that Rodriguez had punched him. Negron reportedly stepped in and punched Rodriguez, sending him to the ground, according to witnesses and security footage. Prosecutors argued the Marines killed Rodriguez, while the defense maintained that Negron acted to defend Dreyer from Rodriguez's drunken aggression. The jury deliberated for a little more than 2 hours before returning a verdict on Wednesday night. The jury in the trial at Marine Corps Air Station Cherry Point, North Carolina, convicted the gunnery sergeants of one charge, violation of a lawful general order for drinking alcohol while deployed in Iraq. That charge carries a maximum sentence of 2 years confinement, a dishonorable discharge, and forfeiture of all pay and allowances, according to the court-martial manual. Gilmet was also charged with homicide as a part of a separate case. He previously asked the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces to dismiss the charges against him. That decision has not yet been made. And now, here are some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. Military.com is reporting that an animal rights group called People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA, is saying it has successfully lobbied the Navy to end a pair of studies that involved subjecting sheep to, quote, gruesome conditions. Breaking Defense is reporting that U.S. Marine Commandant David Berger said U.S. forces top China but will need to use everything in their cupboard to prevent conflict while he was visiting the Australian capital earlier this week. Stars and Stripes is reporting that defense officials said earlier this week the U.S. military's Eyes in the Sky helped French Special Operations Forces seize thousands of rifles and anti-tank missiles on a vessel in the waters of the Middle East in January. And a number of outlets are reporting that a detainee at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, was transferred to the Central American country Belize yesterday.
Yesterday, I met with President Bush and informed him of my decision to conclude my government service as Attorney General of the United States, effective as of September 17, 2007.
And on this day in history, in 2005, Air Force veteran Alberto Gonzalez won Senate confirmation to become the first Latino Attorney General. Born to migrant workers, Gonzalez grew up in the Houston area. He served in the Air Force before going to Rice University and Harvard Law School. The Senate voted largely along partisan lines to approve his nomination. Throughout his tenure, Gonzalez would come under fire for numerous policies, including his defense of President George W. Bush's surveillance program and firing a number of U.S. attorneys. He would later step down in 2007. That's it for us this morning. To get more of the top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. If you liked what you heard, give us a like wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow us on social media at @defense_news and at @military_times. Also, please rate us and be sure to leave a comment. The Early Bird Brief is hosted by me, Jonathan Lehrfeld, and produced by Simone Z. Perez. Today's episode features stories by The Associated Press, Colin Demarest, and Irene Lowenson. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Roos. Have a great day.